listeners, welcome to Chris and Tom's Youth Group Podcast, the podcast where two youth group leaders try to figure out how to do youth group better. My name is Chris Morphew. I'm an author, youth group leader, and school chaplain here in Sydney, Australia. And as always, joining me from Melbourne is author, speaker, youth leader, and best friend of the podcast, Tom French. How you going, Tom?
I am well. Thank you, Chris. And I have my son Jasper with me again, and he's not asleep. He's just next to me in a bouncer making some baby noises. So like that.
Like those. Great.
Yeah.
How was my gusto level on that intro?
That was great gusto. And
thank you.
For those listeners who didn't notice, there was no music that Chris heard. He had no artificial audio enhancements to pump him up. He just did it out of the depths of his heart.
Well, and also you were there dancing as if music was playing, and that really helped create a mood. So
yeah,
good job to the whole team, I say. I think we really nailed it.
It was
anyway.
It was my method acting. I come from the Stanislavski school of acting, and I just went back to a time when there was music, and I danced to that.
And so compelling. If only this was not just an audio podcast, I think that people really would have appreciated it, but maybe one day.
Speaking of not just audio, something I was going to tell you before we recorded, but now we're here, I'll tell it to you now. I've got a video idea that I want to make with you, and I think it's low effort. So for the fourth video in my series, of evangelism videos, I talked a little bit about making AI images of Jesus because I just on Facebook I got served this image of Jesus with a eating. He was eating a golden apple with some flight crew, some attractive female flight crew. And which is weird, and I thought it was so weird that I saved it. And because I did that, Facebook has now decided that I'm really into AI-generated images of Jesus, particularly Jesus connected to aeroplanes, but it's branched out into all sorts of Jesuses. And I thought what would be a fun video to make would, because I've been collecting all these images, to show you the images.
Mm-hmm.
And you react to them like a Chris Reacts video, because I feel like you'd enjoy them and I feel like it's a funny video. Do you want, and it's got nothing to do with the podcast, but do you want to make it one day?
Does it have anything to do with youth group either? This is just
just
something you would like to, you'd want to capture my reactions. Yeah, okay.
I just think it'd be funny because, like that segment with the Christian t-shirts, but these images of Jesus, you have to see them, so we can't do it on the podcast.
All right. Are we going to do this when you're up for the wedding? We're going to do it live?
We could if you want to. I don't want to assume that you've got the free time.
Well, I probably shouldn't either, to be honest. But we'll see.
Yeah, if worse comes to worse, we'll just do it at some point during the reception. We'll just duck off. And
there'll be a lull at some point, surely. No one will notice me missing.
Yeah.
Can I ask you another question?
You can.
You told me off air that you don't spend much time on Instagram, and then you've divulged what sounds to me like a fair bit of Facebook time. What's going on?
I'm so old. So I don't have Instagram on my phone, and I don't have Facebook on my phone, but I check Instagram and Facebook on my computer. And Facebook has done a better job of making a feed that sucks me in, which is terrible because it's not a good feed. I hate it.
No.
But I keep scrolling.
Your child is distressed by it.
Yeah, he doesn't like it. He's already embarrassed that dad spends so much time on Facebook. I think I get like probably one good post out of 10, and it's that tiny dopamine hit of a good post. It's probably like gambling, Facebook. Like, you know, you think that's no good. That's good. And actually, I'm slightly more attracted to it now because of the AI Jesus, because they are so bad.
This is Such a worry. Do you know that's actually how they work? They deliberately don't give you what you want. Like, it's based on the same, I don't know if it's the exact same algorithms, but like, apparently slot machines give you like a regular reward. So it's not predictable and it's not every time, because they've figured out the amount of wins and the like scatter of those wins that is going to keep you on there the longest. And that's the same thing they use for social media, which is why only about every seventh TikTok is actually what you want.
Yeah.
The others are just enough to keep you going and like hoping for the next good one.
Yeah, that's what I actually, TikTok has not got me. Like, I've watched it a little bit and got sucked in a bit, but it just leaves me feeling so gross that it doesn't make me want to go back.
Oh, I stayed on it long enough for it to, like, I got on it. I think I've told this on the podcast before, but I got on it in an attempt to like stay relevant with the youth so I could see what they were watching, you know, keep tabs on it all. But their algorithm is so good. I think Riz is not the word we want to be using. At all.
I was staying relevant with the youth.
Anyway.
No cap. I don't think people cap anymore.
No, I don't think so. Well, this is all just like appropriated African-American culture anyway. So I think there are probably people who still say it, but they were the people who were saying it beforehand. Anyway, what I was going to say was that I joined TikTok to try and stay relevant, and the algorithm was like, oh, no, you don't. And it started serving me all of this like millennial sketch comedy stuff and whatever. So like I stayed on it for like not even long, like an hour or something, and it already had me pegged, and that algorithm is like crack cocaine. It is such a problem that I immediately deleted the app and I've not gone back, because I'm like, it's a problem. And it sounds like, I mean, if it gets banned in the States, I wonder what the future is in Australia.
I mean, even if it still lives in Australia, I don't know how much people stop posting. I don't think it's got much life left in it. Jasper's getting a bit annoyed. I'm going to pick him up and I'm going to put him in the thing that I wear on. What do you call that?
A harness?
Yeah. The carrier. The carrier. And why don't you tell me about youth group while I do that? I'm going to mute my audio.
Well, Tom, let me tell you about youth group. So my youth group journey begins for this week on Friday at around lunchtime, when I got a call from our youth leader to say, hey, you know how I was doing the talk tonight? I just threw up instead. What should we do? And thankfully, the talk was supposed to be about why do we serve, and I had a pre-done talk for that, for something that I'd done at school that I was able to quickly amend and come ready to give the talk on Friday night. Our activity that we did first, it was art night, which is always one of those ones where we say it's art night and then figure out what art night is later. And it's probably a sign of how late we are in the term and how exhausted everyone is that we went with one of those pretty phoned in activities, which is, I don't know if you've done the version of Pictionary where you have like pens and paper on the table, but you also have Play-Doh, but you also have, actually that's it, because charades doesn't require anything. And so it's the standard, when your team guesses the word, they run up to the leader at the front to get the next word.
I have done that one.
And then with the added twist of, now everyone is using Play-Doh. And so people had to sculpt instead. And now everyone is doing charades. And it was, the word list was excellent, because it started super simple and then became weirder and more abstract as it went along. And so the difficulty level kept on escalating. And the team that won, I suspect, might have cheated a little bit, but they probably cheated roughly the same amount as all the other teams. So I think it evened itself out on that level. So we did that.
I ask a question?
Yeah.
Was it youth cheating or youth leader cheating?
It was Look, I can't speak for the other teams. I tried to play a pretty straight bat, to use a sporting analogy, which you know I love to relate everything mm-hmm. back to sports.
Sports with Chris Howard, Tomo.
Wait for it. I would like to. Can you hear that dog barking in the background?
Yeah.
It's like Sydney decided that it was going to join the noise game. So maybe we just both mute our mics for a little while and let the listener talk to themselves. Or maybe I just keep talking and hope the dog goes away. So, yeah, we did. I think there was probably more youth cheating than leader cheating this time around. I said, I found myself very often being like, yep, that was cheating again. Wait a few seconds and then go up. And so we moderated it that way.
I just find it difficult in youth ministry when, like, sometimes the people who are most likely to get super competitive and cheat are the leaders. And yep. It's one of the things where I'm like, come on, guys, this is, I know you're having fun. I know it's good to join in, but cheating is not a great example. Yeah.
There is a member of our congregation, not one of our current youth leaders, but anytime this person is doing any kind of game or anything in a ministry context, will say to the gathered people, remember, there are two kinds of people in this world, winners and losers, and you don't want to be a loser. So I'm not that competitive. I'm actually not competitive at all at youth group until I am, and then I am. Anyway, so we did that, and then we went and got hot chocolates and things and then came and sat down. And usually the get some hot chocolate and get a cup of tea is a nice little circuit breaker, and then we all sit down and we're pretty ready to chill out and listen to the talk. I don't know what to say, except the vibe was just a bit off this week, and I'm not sure. It was one of those ones where, like, it wasn't bad enough to stop and draw attention to, but it was just they weren't as engaged with the talk as we're used to them being. And that may have been partly because my talk was pretty last minute, and so it wasn't quite as honed as I would have liked it to be, although I don't think it was, like, drastically underhoned. It may just be that it was the end of the term. I feel like a lot of our youth have been saying for weeks now how tired they are, because a lot of them are pretty scheduled during the week as it is. So I don't know, but we got through it and we had a good chat about service. And so, yeah, it was a very standard week. And I walked out of my small group and I was like, wait a minute. That was my last ever small group at youth group, because next week, like this coming Friday, is Good Friday, and the Friday after that is my last one. And it's an end of term special where we're not doing small groups. So it was pretty unceremonious, and then it was done.
So great.
There you go.
Having now done your last ever small group,
mm-hmm.
do you have any, you know, broad reflections on what has been useful about small groups in youth ministry or not useful?
Well, I should put an asterisk next to my last ever one, which is to say, well, A, I don't know what God has for me in the future, and B, I, at the time of recording, have just come from a small group Bible study with some of the same youth, which I will continue to do even after leaving the youth group. So it's not a fully complete arc there. But my reflections are, I think small groups are fantastic when they work. And it has been a matter of ongoing conversation among our youth leaders, like what the ideal purpose of small groups are. And I think there's a lot of ways you can go about it. I think that there's three small groups currently at our youth group, and I suspect that the other two small groups both do a lot more of a structured dive into the passage and go through the questions that someone has prepared, which is not the case in my group, we tend to see if there are any questions or comments or thoughts about the talk or about the passage, and then have a pretty sort of freewheeling discussion about that, which is often like pretty fruitful and sometimes not. Like this week, there was someone who asked about service, like, how do you know when to say no? Which is a pretty astute question that a particular kind of person, myself included, really needs to like dive into. And so we had a great conversation about that. Sometimes no one's feeling it and we just kind of don't talk that much more about it. And then we go around and share prayer points and pray for each other. And I think that last part is like part of the glue that holds our group together. I think it's something that they really appreciate. You know, for Christian kids, they appreciate it. And for the kids who aren't yet followers of Jesus, there is a real sense in which, like, there's not another context quite like that. You know, like most friend groups don't go around and share about their week in a structured way. And so I found that that's really useful. The thing I should say is that I'm not like opposed to the more structured Bible study format. Like we do a much more intentional, let's all open the Bible to the same page and read it and talk about it and pull it all apart on our Monday afternoon group. And I feel like in my context, that's the better space for it because our kids are so like by Friday, they're done a lot of the time. They've just had like a massive week at school and co-curricular and all of the stuff and they're just done. And so we can try. And maybe I should try a bit harder, but it's really interesting. The vibe is so different on a Monday afternoon because at the start of the week, everyone's fresh and they really engage a lot more readily than they seem to on a Friday night.
That's an interesting thing to, I think about is like, yeah, what is the, not just what is the best way to do small groups, but when's the best time for them, particularly in the format that you choose to do them in. So yeah, doing the small group outside of youth group time is one that's it feels like I feel like I could get away with it back in the mid 2000s, and just seemed to get harder and harder to find space to do it, like because everyone's so over programmed.
And it's we've got like 7 or 8 youth on the books on Monday, and we generally get 3 to 4. And so it's tricky, but if you can pull it off, man, it's been such a valuable thing. And I'm not fully convinced that I am in the right about Friday night either. Like, I think that it may well be that you set the bar higher and the kids rise to it. But I don't know. So much of the history of our group, not our small group, but our whole youth group, has been that we are a really sort of hodgepodge collection of the kinds of people that you wouldn't necessarily expect to be at a youth group. And so I've tried to be really sort of sensitive to that and adjust the tone of things accordingly. Interestingly, though, these days, it's a lot larger proportion of church kids or at least like really sympathetic, invested non-church youth. And so I don't know, maybe it's time for a change up, but that will be a change up that somebody else makes because I have finished doing small groups at youth group for the foreseeable future.
Great. Sorry, I'm just trying to work out when to unmute.
Yeah, so if you're thinking, listeners, that, boy, there have been long, uninterrupted stretches of Chris monologuing this episode, it's because Tom is trying to bounce his child to sleep at the same time as record this podcast.
He's not unhappy. I'm just trying to spare people. There's a lot of snuffling, which people might think
it's
is cute. Really cute.
I don't think it's going to be a problem.
But every now and then there's like a little spew. There's a bit of that. But every now and then there's a little bit of a spew and people who might not want the ASMR experience of baby spewing. But I reckon
is the S in ASMR for that?
I think so. Yeah. I don't know. Audio spew.
Anyway, how was youth group, Tom?
All right.
Your last one for the term.
Last one for the term. Yeah. So it was fairly simple. We played, it was dinner and games. I got a message on the Friday night, which was from one of the parents, and she was like, "Oh, am I doing dinner tonight?" And I was like, "Yes," because I sent out an email at the beginning of the term saying, "Who wants to volunteer to do dinners?" And she wrote back and was like, "Yeah, I'll do it." And I was like, "Great." But then I never wrote back and said, "That'd be great, thanks." So I never confirmed it. She never confirmed it. And so now I'm getting out of breath just from bouncing this baby. So it's going to be like recording a podcast while I walk up a hill. Anyway, the point, she wrote to me and she was like, "Am I doing dinner?" And I was like, "Oh my goodness, can you?" Oh dear, I felt really bad. But she was fine. She was like, "Yeah, sure, we'll do nachos." And then just threw it together at the last minute. And so we rocked up. Dinner was made for us. We all had nachos. We had a huge turnout, like huge for us. We had 29 youth there.
Cool.
Which, and I was looking at our numbers the week before everything shut down for COVID in 2020, we had our biggest week ever, which was 31. Mm. And we had 29, which I was like, this is really exciting. We're back.
That's great.
I feel like our backness is we've got a lot more engagement than we did pre-pandemic. Like one of the things we've been working on is building a community where young people feel more invested and like they're part of the community as a whole rather than we are a lot clickier. And like youth group felt like it was a lot more about, you know, I come along to youth group to see my friends rather than I come to youth group so I can be at youth group.
Yeah.
And so it was pretty, like, really exciting to see those kinds of numbers. And, you know, there's always that discussion about what is the importance of numbers. And I think at least the importance of numbers is that there was 29 young people who got to hang out with each other and encourage each other and be in a Christian community. One of the things that I was thinking about a lot during the week, which I talked about on the podcast, was whether or not we were going to have any, like we were going to have a talk or not.
Mm.
And I was stressing about it partly because I was like, if we don't do it, I'm going to have to come on the podcast and say we didn't talk about Jesus. And there's going to be all these people judging me.
You're going to get us cancelled, Tom.
And so I did a 40-minute talk on Romans chapter 9 and why it is that God predestines some people for hell. So that was pretty good. I didn't do a talk. I just thought like I really wanted to make sure we just had time to be playing board games with each other.
Mm.
And board games need a good amount of time to actually get into them and engage with each other. And they're really good at building community in a way that like other kinds of activities don't really work. Like it engages the youth who are a little bit more awkward, but are really into those kind of games. And it was the last night of the term. And I feel like, you know, we've done a Bible talk or something every week this term. If you're going to get Jesus 90%, if you're going to get a talk about Jesus or teaching about Jesus 90% of the time you're at youth group, I think we can have one week off and still tell people that we're a community of Jesus followers, which we did. And we played some games together, which was just really nice. And we had two new people. One was a new young person from one of the churches that's connected to us, but she didn't think she knew anyone there. Or she knew one person and then turned up and found out there was another girl there that she knew from school, which was pretty nice to see. Like having kids who go to different youth who go to different churches seeing each other and go, "Oh, what, you go to church too?" And then they connect and they spent time together at youth group. Like they spent the rest of the time hanging out together and they played a game together. And then there was another another girl who brought a friend from school, and I don't think she's a Christian. I'm not sure. I didn't quiz her on it, but it was just really nice to have another friend come along. Like, they've been responding to the things we've been teaching, which is, well, maybe not. Maybe responding to the prompting of the Holy Spirit because of things we've been praying, or I don't know, you know.
Responding to something.
Yeah. Brought a friend along, and she seemed to have a good time too. And now we've doubled the amount of friends who have been brought along this year.
Yeah, you're way ahead of your quota.
Only March, and we're going to keep working on it. And so that was really exciting. And that was the end of our term. So
that's so good.
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, we've spoken, I think, quite a bit on this podcast, on and off, about how the relational investment that you make in the lives of youth is part of what gives you the authority to speak into their lives when you speak into them. And so I think nights like that, like, obviously you don't want them to be the norm, but like, there is a place for just hanging out, building those connections, being a community together. And so I think it's like really legitimate to do that. Like, I think that my last night of youth group in a couple of weeks, like, there's a version of that where we just didn't do a talk, but I just, you know, couldn't go out without having my say one more time. So it's probably more about that than about anything more spiritual.
You can,
maybe
you can,
it's both.
Dress up your last word in some Jesus language, but
yeah.
It's what you want to say, really, isn't it?
Well, hopefully it's both. I have been praying about it. Anyway, sorry, you were about to have a thought.
Yeah,
or
no,
express,
I think,
a thought. You might.
Yeah, I agree, and I think, like, it's having that space to just hang out together also says that we, while we're a community that wants to learn about Jesus and talk about Jesus, we also are a community that wants to just spend time together. And and following Jesus isn't just about the formal times of like teaching, but also the times when you do play games together and hang out with each other. One of the things I talked about before we started playing, like at the beginning of the night, I said, board game nights, because you are going to be running the board game. So I got the youth to think about the games they wanted to play and got them to tell the group what games they were going to run. Rather than, I had leaders ready to run them as backups, but I wanted the youth to be the ones who were kind of leading the charge.
Yeah, great.
And I also told them to look around, be ready to look around and look for someone who was wandering around, didn't have a group to join, and say, come and join my group. And then what I did was I actually got them to say to each other, like, I got them to practice saying, first I got them to say out loud, hey, come and join my game. And then I got them to turn to their friend and say, hey, come and join my game, which was really dumb. But also it was one of those things where it's like, when you've said it out loud, it's a bit easier and everyone's
got it together.
It becomes
normalized. Yeah. That's so funny, but like, absolutely, I can see that working.
And it turns out we didn't need to do that, or maybe because we did that, we didn't need to do that. So people, like, no one was wandering around with nothing to do except for, like, there was one, like, year 7 boy who was wandering around who got slightly bored, but then I was in between games, and so I saw him as like, hey, we're about to play throw burrito. We got the giant one, which was a Christmas present from the 28-year-old youth leader, actually, and so we had these giant blow-up burritos, and he was really excited to play with it, so we got that game going, and he was the only person who was wandering around with nothing to do, and mainly because he was a year 7 boy with a lot of energy rather than he was lonely and no one wanted to involve him in the game. Mm-hmm. And throw burrito had exactly the right amount of energy for him.
Yeah.
And it worked out well. So it was a night where, even though there was no explicit Jesus teaching, there was a practical opportunity to express Jesus community Yeah, I just would. I would only do it about once a term, so that we remain clearly all about helping young people know Jesus and live for Jesus.
Hmm. Cool.
There you go.
And I'd ask you what you're doing next week, but
nothing.
Not.
Well, it'll be Good Friday, so I'll probably go to church, and then I don't know what you do. I don't know. Is it, are there things that you're meant to do on Good Friday in the evening? I sometimes try and read the Easter narratives, but I don't know how it's going to go with the craziness of bedtime on a Friday night.
I think what you do is faithfully parent your children and then see what you've got left in the tank after that. That would be my advice.
Good Friday Marvel movie watching, perhaps. I haven't seen The Marvels yet.
Oh, it's great.
Ah, good.
It's actually really good. Like, I thought, I watched it in the cinema and I was like, oh, cool, this is like a welcome return to form, and then everybody hated it. So maybe that's just me. I had fun.
Good.
I feel like I've reviewed that movie on this very podcast some months ago.
But yeah, you did.
4 stars.
Yeah, so I think that we're not going to be back next week, but we will be back, hopefully, for Chris's... to review Chris's last week of youth group for ever, or until the Lord calls him back into doing a youth group. So you can all just have a week off listening to us and see us again.
For a minute, I wasn't sure whether you were talking about your youth group or about this podcast, and then I figured it out.
Having a week off? So. Yeah, sorry. I shifted to podcast admin for all our listeners who are still here in the back end.
Yeah. The best end.
The other thing I thought I'd say is that we are going to, for term two, while Chris is off honeymooning he'll be back at some point, I'm going to be inviting a bunch of different youth ministry people who run youth group to come and join me. Like, they'll be guests on the show, but we'll try and stick with the same format. And you can hear about a bunch of different youth groups. And at some point, I think Chris will come back in and join us, and we'll see how it goes with having me and Chris and one other person talking about youth group. And then we'll just see how the youth...
See what happens.
...youth group evolves from there. And actually, Chris, you know what we haven't done is drawn a winner from the people who entered into the competition.
To ask us a question and then answer it.
No. To do the survey. And we said they could win a book from us.
Did we? We should do that. Well,
yes. So maybe we should do that right now. What do you reckon?
Oh, I was going to say get them back next week. In 2 weeks and make them get them back for the season finale. But we can do it now.
No. I think maybe we should do that only because as I look at it, I can't think of a way to do this that is going to be... fair.
Not just you looking at a list and picking out a name.
Well, I was going to get you to pick a number, but I can't. Oh, yeah, no, I can do it, actually. Okay, Chris, I need you to pick a number between 1 and 9. And that doesn't say how many people did our survey. We had a lot more than 9 people, that's for sure. But 9 eligible.
This is your top
entries.
9.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to say number 7.
Number 7. All right. So number 7 is, here we go. The winner is Andy Mack. Congratulations, Andy Mack.
You have
won whatever we said you would win.
What was that?
I think it was a signed book from each of us.
That sounds right.
An air freshener.
Great. So, well, what if you either bring a book up when you come here for the wedding or the other way around and we can mail that out?
I'll bring it. Well, you're not going to come down here for anything.
Well, no, but I could give you the book and you could take
Sure. All right. Well, I'll bring a book up to Sydney.
I feel like the sniffer dogs might have a field day on your bag if you had some of my cherry air fresheners.
Congratulations, Andy Mack. You've won the biggest prize ever in history. Of this podcast.
2 books and maybe an air freshener.
Yeah, signed. I don't think we signed the other ones, did we? I don't remember.
I can't remember.
Yeah, doesn't matter. All right, I think we're probably at the...
Man, what a peter out this episode has been.
Do you want to hear a joke?
I sure do.
Okay. why did the chicken cross the road?
Why?
To get to the idiot's house. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Chicken.
Well, thanks everyone for listening to Chris and Tom's Youth Group Podcast. I'm going to assume that Tom's putting the music around about here in his extensive post-production of our show. If you have anything that you want to let us know, ask us, tell us, whatever, you can email us at chrisandtomsyouthgrouppodcast@gmail.com. That's chrisandtomsyouthgrouppodcast@gmail.com. You can also head to tomfrance.com.au to find out more about his books, his speaking, his other things, and you can go to tomfrance.com.au/youthgrouppodcast for some resources that we've put up there over the run of this thing so far. I think that's it. See you in 2 weeks.
ChrisMulkey.com.
Nailed it again. Happy birthday. Did I even wish you happy birthday?
No.
Happy 47th birthday. The end.